Hello and welcome to this debate in the election for Wisconsin State Senate District 32. I'm Anthony Chergosky, and I am a faculty member in the Department of Political Science and Public Administration at the University of Wisconsin-La Crosse. The candidates in this election are Brad Paff of the Democratic Party and Stacey Klein of the Republican Party. The sponsors of this debate are the League of Women Voters of the La Crosse area, the La Crosse Area Chamber of Commerce, the University of Wisconsin-La Crosse, WKBT Television News 8 Now, and we have Ken Kozarowski joining us from WKBT, WXOW Television News 19, we have Dustin Lukey joining us from News 19, WIZM Radio, we have Brad Williams joining us from WIZM, and Wisconsin Public Radio, we have Ezra Wall joining us from Wisconsin Public Radio. Thank you to the candidates and the sponsors for their participation in this debate. The rules of this debate are as follows. Each candidate will get 60 seconds for an opening statement. Then our panel of local journalists will ask questions of the candidates. I have not reviewed, screened, or approved of the questions that the local journalists will ask. For each question, the candidates will get 60 seconds to respond. As a moderator, I will have the option of allowing for 30-second follow-ups by each candidate after their initial 60-second responses. We won't necessarily do this for each question, but we will use this follow-up when I feel additional discussion is warranted. I will use this option based on the initial responses that candidates give to each question. The debate will conclude with closing statements. Through a random draw, I have determined that Stacey Klein will go first for her opening statement. Stacey Klein, you have 60 seconds.
Well, thank you very much. Thank you to all the sponsors for everyone being here. I really appreciate the opportunity to discuss these important topics. Again, my name is Stacey Klein. I grew up on a dairy farm just south of Arcadia. I graduated from Arcadia High School and then from Carthage College in Kenosha. After spending some time in the Milwaukee area, realizing urban life wasn't for me, I came back over 11 years ago. I work in finance. I serve on the Trumbull County Board. I've served on a couple committees for our school district. And my husband, my daughter, and I live just north of Trumbull. I'm running because I have a daughter, and I want her to have the same opportunities that I've had growing up. I want her to grow up in the Wisconsin that we know and love. I'm also very passionate about local government. That's where money is most efficiently, effectively spent, and we need that mentality at the state level. I'm also running because we need a senator who's not only going to say things in the district, but actually go and vote for those and vote on behalf of the residents of Western Wisconsin when in Madison. So I look forward to conversation, and again, I thank you for this opportunity.
Thank you. Brad Paff, you have 60 seconds for your opening statement.
Well, thank you, and thank you all for being here. 4 years ago, it was an honor of a lifetime to be elected to represent this beautiful area in the Wisconsin State Senate. And when I came before you, I pledged that if elected, I will vote for your interest and not for partisan special interest. I am proud that I've done that. I've been recognized as the most bipartisan state senator. But you know what? More work needs to be done, and that is why I am seeking re-election. We need to invest in our working families, and we need to drive down costs. We need to recognize the fact that gas prices and groceries are too high. We all know that childcare is too expensive, and it's not always available. We need to hold these prescription drug companies accountable. We need to cap the price of insulin. And we need to make sure that we protect individual freedoms. The government has no business in your bedroom. I'm running for re-election because I want to make sure our values are represented in Madison.
Thank you. The first question will come from WKBT's Ken Kozarowski, and Brad Paff will have the first opportunity to respond to this question. Ken?
Anthony, thanks very much. Can you guys hear me okay?
Yes, I can.
Perfect. Thanks so much for doing this, and I want to echo your sentiments on thanking the sponsors and my fellow panelists who are joining us today. I want to start on the subject of childcare.
Yes.
This district is full of childcare deserts, but state government in the last couple years cannot seem to agree on funding childcare statewide. How much of a priority should childcare funding be in the next state budget and beyond?
Well, thank you very much for that question, and I will say this, that child care is a very important issue in this district. And quite frankly, child care is too expensive, and it's not available. and we have childcare deserts, may it be here in the city of La Crosse or in the rural areas that I represent. It needs to be a high priority within the next state budget. We need to fully fund childcare counts. We need to make sure that we can get more childcare providers within the network. We need to make sure that we work to hold down costs for working families. You see, the economics of childcare just do not work. The margins for childcare providers are paper thin. Trying to get people to enter the childcare industry, they won't do it because they don't get paid enough. But yet, for parents, childcare costs are so very expensive. Childcare counts is an important program that we can continue to work with our childcare providers to hold down costs for our parents. It's something I've supported in the past and I will continue to lead on.
Thank you. Stacy Klein.
Sure. So childcare counts, that was funded by one-time money from the federal government, and it actually didn't add any slots, so it wasn't moving us forward in this important issue. I agree with Senator Paff when he talks about the necessity. It's often talked in different government organizations that whichever state or area figures out the childcare issue, they're going to win because that's where all of the families will flock to. I was recently at the Wisconsin Counties Association annual conference, and during the childcare workshop, we saw examples of partnership throughout the state. So that's counties working with businesses, working with other organizations, finding ways that we can get really creative about solving this issue. The legislature also had been supporting PALS, which is a program that supports licensing. It's a path to licensing, and which was, we are seeing some good results to that, but unfortunately we had some people like Senator Paff vote against that, and we weren't able to move forward with that program, and that had actually been adding slots. Moving us forward in that. So I would seek that type of direction.
Brad Paff, I can give you a 30-second follow-up.
Well, I would just come back and say the fact that we will continue to work with the child care sector and with parents to make sure that we can find solutions that will work at the local level. We need to make sure that we hold down costs and at the same time we have child care facilities that are available not just in urban areas but also rural and suburban areas. And it's so very important that we get more people within the child care sector. Because at the end of the day, we want to make sure that our little ones have a loving, caring environment in order for them to continue to grow.
Thank you. Stacy Klein, you can have 30 seconds.
Sure. I mean, we all want the same thing, but we've got to talk about solutions. So again, with the partnerships, getting creative with that. But look, revisiting regulations. We all want our kids to be safe. We want to make sure that people are licensed. But it's getting to the point where we've gone over that tipping point, and it's making very difficult to keep people working in the industry when they have to have all this education and they're not being paid properly. So we need to revisit that and find out where we can find more of a meeting point and find solutions. Also looking at one of the things I've heard is insurance is pushing some of the child care providers out of the industry. So there are areas we need to look at and actually go forward with this.
Thank you. Stacy Klein will have the opportunity to respond first to this question coming up from Dustin Lukey of WXOW News 19.
Oh, thank you again both for being here. Thank you to the sponsors and my fellow panelists as well. And thank you to our audience for being a part of this critical process of what amounts to a job interview, so to speak, for the 32nd Senate District seat in front of your possible employers, the people of the 32nd. Sticking with the economy, Senator Lemonhue put forward a bill to transition Wisconsin to a flat tax eventually of 3.25%. While it would be among the lowest in the country, 3% of $30,000 is more of a burden than 3% of $300,000. What sort of tax policy would you support moving forward?
Sure. This is definitely an area that I'd like to explore options. I really like some of the things that our legislature put forward in the last session. One of the largest tax cuts in history for everyone across the board. Also looking at taking away tax or making it where seniors didn't have to pay taxes on their retirement income. These are both items that unfortunately Senator Paff voted against, and this is money that we could have gotten back into the taxpayer's hands. So this is an area where I have been looking a little bit at the flat tax. I don't know if I have enough information yet to really get behind that yet, but I'm very open to options and possibly moving forward some of the items that we tried to pass in the last session. And maybe make some tweaks so that we can get that passed through the legislature and then have the governor sign that into law.
Thank you. Brad Paff.
Well, I do not support the flat tax, and I would be surprised if my opponent would. I frankly do not believe that it's fair that a teacher who makes $50,000 a year should pay the same tax rate as a multimillionaire that lives in Madison or Milwaukee. I will continue to fight for the middle-class families in this area. I believe in targeted, individual tax reduction. I have voted for tax reductions in the past. I am proud to be a co-sponsor of legislation that finally eliminated the personal property tax, something that this state had since its inception in 1848. I have put forward a very strong, comprehensive property tax relief plan that would provide property tax relief to our homeowners in this area, and that would cover individuals from, you know, the very beginning homeowners to those that you know, are elderly. All of that is so very important, but we need to have targeted tax relief for working families, and we surely do not need a tax reduction for the very, very wealthy. They would pay the same rate as the working families.
Thank you, Senator Paff. Senator Paff will have the first chance at this next question from WIZM's Brad Williams.
Thank you. Good afternoon. I wanted to continue on the tax issue and to find out if there are any particular breaks that members of the public have asked either of you to pursue that maybe they are not getting relief on now, is something that maybe has not gone very far in the legislature in the past, or something that Wisconsin really hasn't investigated as far as a tax break?
Well, thank you for that question. First of all, I believe the most important thing that we can do is make sure that we invest in our working families, and we recognize a growing economy. And we want to make sure that we continue to have manufacturing and economic progress taking place in this district. So I am very, very focused on, you know, what we can do with research and development, what we can do is helping our businesses expand and grow. So business tax relief is very important, making sure that we have more opportunities as far as for, you know, child tax credits for working families. Those are ideas that need to be reviewed. We need to continue to recognize the burden of the property tax and what more we can do to drive down property tax in this state. All of those are very important, but at the end of the day, we need to recognize the fact that lowering costs for working families is so very
Thank
important.
You. Thank you. Stacey Klein.
Sure. Well, we're still on taxes. I do agree with discovering ways that we can lower property taxes, and that's probably the area where I've heard about the most. But I just wanted to reiterate, Senator Paff talks about targeted tax relief. There were four separate tax relief bills that came through the legislature in the last session. He voted against three of them. One was for middle, and like I said, it was across the board, so even people on food stamps would have received tax relief. That other one that I mentioned was for retirees. Our senior citizens are the ones hit the hardest by inflation. They have fixed income, and this was an opportunity to give them tax relief, and he didn't do it. We need to have someone that's not only, like I said, going to say what they support, but then go down to Madison and actually vote for that as well. But like I said, I do agree with finding ways to finding some type of property tax relief as well. Thank you.
Thank you. Senator Paff, 30-second follow-up.
Well, I just would remind my opponent that those bills were disguised flat tax bills, and I've been very clear. I do not believe that a mechanic that lives in Sparta, who's making $60,000 a year, should pay the same tax rate as a multimillionaire living in Milwaukee or Madison. And all of those different pieces of legislation that's been referred to are a flat tax. It's the same rate for that working family member versus someone who is, again, making seven figures.
Thank you. Stacey Klein.
Well, regardless, it was tax relief. When it came to the senior bill, I mean, that meant no taxes on retirement income up to $150,000 for a couple. I don't see where that's going into a flat tax. That just means less taxes for senior citizens to pay, and we need that tax relief across the board. Like I said, I would be willing to look into the flat tax just because I'm the kind of person, I like to learn as much as I can about any topic that comes before me, then I can make an educated decision.
And that is why we should have moved forward my property
Senator
tax relief.
We need to move on. We need to move on.
Working families.
We need to move on to Ezra Wall. The question will go to Stacy Klein.
Thank you very much. So the Wisconsin Department of Administration announced yesterday the state ended the last fiscal year with a $4.6 billion surplus. The rainy day fund is at an all-time high. With schools, municipalities, counties, and others concerned over lagging state support, how would you prioritize the spending of that surplus?
So initially, my reaction is to get that money back out to the taxpayers. You definitely hit on, you know, my heart when you talk about schools and local governments, because those are areas that I would fight for. As I mentioned before, I come from local government. I see what goes on there. There's almost 70 municipalities in this district. I've been to over 40 monthly board meetings during this campaign because I want to go out and I want to find out what is going on in the different areas of the district. The top thing we hear about is roads. The state funding for local governments has been stagnant for decades. The shared revenue bill was a great step in the right direction, but we need to do more. So that is an area I will fight for, but initially my top priority with that would be getting money back out to the taxpayers.
Thank you. Brad Path.
Well, I agree. We need to get the money back out to the taxpayers. And I think we also need to recognize the fact that we need to invest in our working families and invest in this economy. And we can do that by holding down child care costs and making child care more available. We need to make sure that we continue to broaden out our supply chain that we have in this state. We know how to make things in this state. We know how to grow things. We know how to manufacture. We need to build out that supply chain. We need to make sure that we've got a strong infrastructure with roads and bridges. All of that's very important, and we need to invest in our public education system. So those are my priorities, and that's what I hear it when I continue to communicate with the voters.
The next question will go to Brad Paff from WKBT's Ken Kozarowski.
Thank you, Anthony. We've heard a little bit about property taxes and shared revenue, so my next question will kind of touch on those. Yeah. The last state government cycle saw massive increases in public dollars for the state's private voucher system as part of that shared revenue agreement between state Republicans and Governor Evers. We did some local reporting within the last month where the Kickapoo School District reports a 440% tax hike over that private school funding increases. At a time when seemingly almost every public school in our area is either going to operational referendum or considering an operational referendum, how would you approach a long-term solution to public education funding at the state level?
Well, thank you for that question. First of all, I am a product of public education, and I'm very proud of our public schools. Our public schools are what bring our communities together, and regardless of one zip code, every child should have an opportunity to succeed. And I do believe our public education helps build not just a civic society, but a strong democracy and a very, very strong economy. But we need to get back to the basics. We need to recognize that the current school aid formula is outdated. It has not been updated in years, and we need to make sure that Western Wisconsin schools get the fair share. And so we need to start rolling up our sleeves and looking at that school aid formula. We also need to recognize the fact that we need to continue to attract and retain high quality educators. So that is extremely important. But what we have to do as well is we need to make sure that our special education funding that we recognize the importance of that and the cost of it. So all of that is very important, but we need to recognize how important public schools are, and
we need
to keep the eye on the ball.
Thank you. Stacy Klein.
So quickly, Senator Paff voted against the budget, so that was funding for all of this. One thing there's a couple things I agree on as far as attracting good talent, making sure that we're paying enough for that. 70% of Wisconsinites support the school choice program. So that is something we really need to look at. While I've been out knocking doors, I've had some really good conversations with retired teachers, seeing that there are some areas where we could probably do some tweaking and make this program better. But we saw a record increase funding for our public school systems during the last budget. And the DPI is getting audited from what I understand is the first time in 40 years. So we need to take a look at where this money is being spent. and make sure that it's following the students and that it's not going to extra administration and other areas or it's being wasteful. I also do agree with but we need to take a look at where the money is being spent and be efficient, effective with it, and allow that choice for school as well, because so many Wisconsinites do want that. I would like to know more about the Kickapoo situation, though, because I'm not as familiar with that. Thank you.
The next question will go to Stacy Klein from Dustin Lukey.
Thank you, Anthony. One of the issues that's caused something of a stalemate in Madison and remains a big problem here in the 32nd Senate District is mitigation money for water contamination, specifically with regard to PFAS chemicals. The legislature passed a bill that it says would deal with the problem, but a Town of Campbell official told us that it would not hold polluters accountable and wouldn't get the money necessarily where it needs to be in the hands of the people who need it most. What would you like to see happen with that $125 million that's already been allocated in the last budget cycle?
So I actually reread that bill this morning. So that money was going to go out for municipal grants, money to go to innocent landowners, because we shouldn't be holding them accountable. It was also to reduce costs for testing. There was a lot of really good stuff in that bill. That's something that our senator voted against, which he talks about his bipartisanship. This was a prime example of where he could have reached across the aisle, done something very good for the area, and also used his leadership skills to bring the governor on board and get this passed. This money is sitting down in Madison doing no good. The $125 million needs to be passed with legislation and out to our communities so they can start remediating this problem. As far as what the town board supervisor had said, I don't see where that's consistent with what was worded in the bill, so maybe they just haven't had a chance to read through the entire thing.
Thank you.
Well, there is $125 million sitting in Madison, and it should be back here to the people of the town of Campbell and those that unfortunately cannot go to their tap, turn on, and drink the water. Think about that. In the town of Campbell right now, we have residents that have been drinking bottled water for nearly 4 years. That cannot last. That should not last. But I want to comment on that bill, and I'll tell you why I didn't vote for that bill, because the bill does not hold polluters accountable. My question is, do you believe taxpayers should pay for this cleanup, or should the polluters? I believe the polluters should pay for the cleanup. I do not believe taxpayers should. And the way that bill is structured right now, it lets the polluters off the hook. And that is unfair to all of you and everybody that's watching. Innocent taxpayers should not have to pay to clean up what the polluters have caused in the town of Campbell and in other communities around this state. I've been a leader on PFAS as far as trying to move. I've got legislation to remove PFAS from household products.
Thank you.
And I will continue to hold polluters accountable.
Thank you. Stacy Klein, you can follow up.
I agree. We need to eliminate or remove it from household products. It's in a lot more things than people realize. But when I reread the bill, that's not how it's worded in there. And there's other legal aspects of this where the polluters are being held accountable. What really needs to happen is for the legislature to work together, just do what's best for the people and get the money out into the hands of those that are suffering from this. I know some have mentioned that the Finance Committee should release the money. We shouldn't do that because one committee doesn't have the power and authority to override a governor's veto.
Thank you.
And let's bring the legislature into session so we can release that money. I'm ready to release that money right now. That money should have been out. The people in the town of Campbell are being used as pawns by the Joint Finance Committee because they will not release that money because they're trying to protect those that have caused the pollution. And that is unfortunate. And the people in the town of Campbell deserve better. I meet with the people in the town of Campbell, I hear their concerns, and I will always fight for their interest. We need to remove PFAS from the household products, and we need to make sure those that caused the pollution are held responsible.
Thank you. This next question for Brad Paff from Brad Williams.
This is a very agricultural district, of course, and I wanted to know what you are hearing from the farm community in the district as to, are they satisfied with the ways that Madison can help them out, and what are they looking for that maybe they aren't getting right now in support?
Well, thank you for that question. I will say what farmers are very busy right now, and they surely would like to have better grain prices, especially corn and soybean. And of course, milk prices are never high enough. But what they are looking for is they want to make sure that they have the opportunity to farm. And as someone who was raised on a family farm and whose family's been farming in this area since they first came to this country in the 1850s, agriculture is near and dear to my heart. And this area is the Driftless region. So land conservation is very important. I am proud to have worked in a bipartisan manner with our colleague Lauren Oldenburg from Vernon County to make sure programs like the Farmland Preservation Program is in place, that we continue to have land stewardship money that's available to assist our family farmers, but continuing to grow and find new markets for our agriculture products. That is always so very important because Wisconsin farmers feed the world. Thank you.
Yep, so that this is an area where Senator Paff and I agree on a lot. With Trumbull County, on the county board, I'm on the Environment and Land Use Committee, which includes conservation. I'm part of the Wisconsin Land and Water organization. I'm also on a steering committee that's agriculture and land use for the Wisconsin Counties Association. So we talk about conservation, finding new avenues for our farmers as well. Like I said, these are areas that we very much agree on. One thing I do want to point out is the agricultural roads. We had a new program introduced recently that was the Agricultural Road Improvement Program, the AREPs. Many of you might be familiar with the LRIPs, which are the local road improvement programs. Unfortunately, that's another area where Senator Paff voted against. And this has been a highly demanded program. We're actually seeing the second round of monies go out for this. There's certain types of roads that qualify for this. It's agriculture, and it's a tremendous benefit to our region.
Senator Paff, you can follow up.
I was a co-sponsor of that bill. I've been a strong advocate of that bill. So I would have everyone recognize the fact that farmers need to get their products to market. And we need to have a strong rural highway system, strong roads and bridges. And you know, my efforts have been recognized by the Wisconsin Counties Association as well as the Wisconsin Farm Bureau Federation for being an advocate when it comes to rural communities and family farmers.
Stacy Klein with the last word.
Oh, I must have mixed up bills, but I know he voted against a large portion of agricultural roads. I apologize for that. Mistakes were made. There's unfortunately so many bills that he's talked about supporting here in the district and then votes against in Madison. I just want to make sure that we're making that point.
Stacy Klein will get the next question from Ezra Wall.
A lot of talk nationally about what becomes on a state-by-state basis regarding reproductive rights, abortion laws, in light of the overturn of Roe versus Wade a year or so ago. Here in Wisconsin, what's your stance on the current abortion laws, and would you support any changes to those laws?
Well, I don't support our old bill. When it comes to this topic, I think it's very important to put this out to the voters of the district. It shouldn't be in the hands of just one politician to assert their opinion over the entire district. My go-to for this would be to have listening sessions and conversations so that we can come together. There's so much anger and hate on either side, and I think if we can get together and have conversations, not necessarily to change opinions, but to gain consensus, to gain understanding. I know I've had a number of conversations on doors, because this personally for me, this is an issue that I've struggled with as far as where I stand. I've been in different directions. So if I were given the opportunity to represent this area, I would want to have the listening sessions to have a very good understanding as to what's wanted by the people in the 32nd district.
Thank you.
Well, the people of the 32nd Senate district have been loud and clear that they want to see codified in the law, Roe v. Wade. And what's happened over the last 2.5 years has further divided this country. There is absolutely no business for the government or politicians to be in our bedrooms. There is no business for government or politicians to be telling people what kind of reproductive health care decisions they should make. That is, again, what has happened since the Dobbs decision has caused greater consternation to the people in this district, and throughout this state. And we cannot have an 1849 law in place any longer. This state is not where we were 175 years ago. I am a strong proponent of making sure that we codify Roe v. Wade into state statute and to make sure that individual freedoms, that we all have our individual freedoms. That's so important.
Thank you. Ken Kozarowski is next with a question for Brad Path.
Thank you, Anthony. I'll stay on the topic of health care. A bipartisan effort to expand Medicaid coverage to low-income mothers up to 1 year postpartum passed the Senate almost unanimously last session, but the Assembly never brought it to the floor. How might you work with your colleagues in Madison to get something like Medicaid expansion across the finish line, something that 46 states in the Union have done so far?
Well, thank you. We're talking about Badger Care expansion. Badger Care expansion would provide an additional health care opportunities for at least 90,000 Wisconsin residents. Not only that, it would provide $1.7 billion of economic aid that would come back to the state of Wisconsin that Washington, D.C. is currently holding. We could use that money then to put into our rural health care network to make sure that our rural hospitals and clinics can stay strong. We don't want to see a situation like we've had in the Chippewa Valley where two hospitals have recently closed. We could use that money to continue to get more rural health care providers. All of that is so very important if we would expand Badger Care. But you know what's happened is that one particular individual, Speaker Voss, has said we're not going to do this. And the majority party has fallen behind his effort to hold back. I think it's a no-brainer.
Thank you.
That we have this.
Thank you.
So I agree with extending the postpartum Medicaid. That's an area where, you know, especially we talked about the issue of abortion, where if we could provide more care, more options, I think that we're just going to be doing better for everyone. But when it comes to complete expansion of Badger Care, we need to realize that the reasons that some of these hospitals have closed is because they had too many Medicaid patients. And the Medicaid reimbursement rates isn't high enough to make up for that. It puts an additional financial burden on these medical systems, and it makes it very difficult for them to keep going. Then also, when he talks about the number of people being added to Badger Care, a number of those actually qualify for through Obamacare. So that's already subsidized. They could use that program, and we wouldn't have that additional burden on the Wisconsin taxpayers, and like I said, and that additional financial burden on our medical systems.
Thank you. Follow up.
So I just want to follow up. Do you support expanding Badger Care in Wisconsin or not? I mean, I think it's important. It's a very important issue here for the people of this district, because what Badger Care expansion would do was provide health care opportunities for more, and it would also, that additional dollars we would get from Washington, D.C. would help our rural health care sector. So I think it's important that the electorate know where we stand on Badger Care expansion.
Stacey Klein, 30 seconds.
Well, I think it's important that we take a look at how this is being paid for, and if it is putting an additional burden on our taxpayers, and if there is other options. So while I do support certain aspects of it, I don't support an all-out expansion of it. One thing I do support is taking a look at the benefit cliffs, though, because I have known people that have tried not to work as much or not work as many hours because they know if they make a little bit extra money, they're going to lose their coverages. So that is one area we need to take a look at as well. So there's nuances to it.
This next question for Stacey Klein comes from Dustin Lukey.
Thank you. We are on the UW-La Crosse campus, where notably the Prairie Springs Science Center remains in limbo due to funding issues in Madison. How would you work to advocate for projects like this that the university says will keep it competitive in the health sciences field?
Mm-hmm. Well, just like with anything else, I would try to gather as much information as I possibly could. I do like to have strong arguments if I'm going to support something like that. That's an area where made aware of the number of majors that we have on this campus that would utilize a facility like that. So that's definitely an area that I would like to learn more about, potentially become a champion of it. But again, learning more information and, you know, we look at the way the world is progressing and we really need to stay focused on what we're going to see in the future. I think for college students, it's especially important when they're coming in and taking a look at a major, what type of job opportunities are out there, and if this is going to support that going forward, then that's definitely an area I would be in favor of.
Thank you. Well, Prairie Springs, too, is a very important project for this university. It's a very important project for this region, and I would say for this state. La Crosse and the greater Cooley region is a healthcare leader. With Bellin, Gunderson, as well as with Mayo, we have a very strong healthcare sector here. This healthcare sector is continuously looking for high-quality applicants for the jobs that they have available. The University of Wisconsin-La Crosse is well-positioned with its graduates to help feed into that very strong healthcare sector that we have in this area. I think there's a real opportunity for us to continue to build out and grow this economy. And by doing that is making investments in the things like Prairie Springs 2 here at the University of Wisconsin-La Crosse, continuing to grow out the healthcare majors that we have on this campus, and continue to partner with Gunderson Bellin as well as with Mayo and with other healthcare facilities to make sure that residents in this region have high quality health care.
Thank you. Brad Williams is next with a question for Brad Path.
The city of La Crosse has been dealing with homeless population and problems of homeless people gathering in the community over the last couple of years. Basically, a local problem, but is this something that the state should be more involved with in providing resources for the communities that have this kind of situation, or should it be primarily left to the individual communities?
Well, thank you for that question. Without a doubt, we want to make sure that we help find housing for those that are unsheltered. I have been a strong proponent of making sure that the state resources are sent back to a local community, and then the local community then would work with its public-private partnerships in order to try and have a the best fit for a community, because what's happening here in La Crosse may be different than what's happening in Eau Claire or in Green Bay. We also look at the very strong public-private partnerships that we have, may it be with Salvation Army or Lutheran Social Services or Catholic Charities. They're doing good work, and I think that we need to build upon the work that they are doing. So I do not believe in a one-size-fits-all top-down solution, but I do believe that the state of Wisconsin should be more active as far as providing resources back to communities like La Crosse.
Thank you.
I definitely agree with keeping it more local. One unfortunate thing that we see among some of the homeless community is that they choose to be there, or there may be mental health issues. So I think we need to approach this from the root cause. Find out why do they want to be here, or you know, maybe they don't want to be and they just don't understand the resources that are available. When I first got onto the county board in Trumplo, I was really astonished by how much is available there, and I'm thinking the vast majority of the public just isn't aware of it. So part of it, communication, making sure people are aware of the resources. Senator Paff had also mentioned about partnerships, and that's one of the things I was thinking about too, because we talk about that in other aspects, other issues like childcare, and building those partnerships, finding those innovative solutions so that we can really put something together that's going to make an impact on this and help the people that are in this position.
Thank you. Stacy Klein will get this question from Ezra Wall.
It seems like everywhere you look, businesses that in the past used to be locally owned, or at least those business sectors, are now controlled by huge corporations. Everything from retail to some of our own media organizations to dental offices and restaurants. What can the state legislature do to support small businesses, mom and pop shops, locally owned businesses that feel like the competitive burden against these big corporations is too great?
Mm-hmm. The first couple things that come to mind are tax incentives, opportunities for tax deductions, also taking a look at if there's ways to partner so we can put together programs for startup costs. I know one of the major barriers just for someone to get going is to have enough money to get started in business. Um, I understand what you're saying is see what we're seeing for that trend, but it's also encouraging to see some of these areas. Like I'm not sure if you guys are familiar with downtown Galesville, which has a number of small businesses. I know it's the highlight of this, all women run businesses, but encouraging and facilitating more areas like that, looking at downtown renovations, where government can be involved as far as investing in infrastructure, just so we can provide those locations, the basic necessities like that. So that's a really interesting question, because I think we can get very creative with that. And there are more and more people that would like to see those small businesses. And then you think of the families that would benefit from running those businesses as well.
Thank you. We need to build out our supply chains. We in this nation cannot just be dependent upon a few nations halfway across the world in order to be the primary source of some of our raw ingredients and some of the materials that we need for finished products. We can do that right here in western Wisconsin, right here in this area. I've been a strong proponent of building out supply chains and making, we know how to make things in this area. We know how to design things, how to engineer, how to manufacture. Our farmers grow high quality crops. We can make that into high quality food that people desire to eat. All of that's so very important. Building out a supply chain, having workforce development training, continuing to partner with what Western Technical College is doing with manufacturing, with high-tech manufacturing, working with the Health Science Consortium here at UW La Crosse, continue to build out. We can continue to invest locally through strong transportation and infrastructure and broadband, but continuing to make sure that Wisconsin's open for business.
Thank you. The next question, we will begin with Brad Path. The question comes from Ken Kozarowski.
While the Wisconsin State Assembly supported a measure to allow clerks to begin counting absentee ballots before Election Day, Senate Republicans in the majority did not put that measure on the floor, and Senate Majority LeMahieu did not necessarily give a specific reason why. Should the state Senate support such a measure in the next legislative session, why or why not?
Yes, thank you for that question. Yes, we should. We should allow that to take place. We also need to, election security is very important. I think we all recognize how important election security is. We need to make sure that we provide the resources for our local municipal clerks. We need to just pull back a little bit on that rhetoric and just recognize the fact that these are our neighbors that are our local clerks. So we need to make sure that we provide needed resources and training for our election officials locally so they can do the job that all of us want them to do and do it successfully. But yes, making sure that we can count those votes on a timely basis is, in my opinion, a no-brainer.
Thank you.
So I've heard both sides of the argument from legislators on this topic, but when I'm out talking to voters, the majority of people that I speak with do not want to extend out Election Day in that manner. It makes you wonder, back in the day, how did we count all the ballots before we had computers or anything of that nature? And I have heard from people that they want to go back to paper ballots, hand counting. Obviously, they've never been poll workers. They haven't been there at the end of the night when you have to reconcile everything. Like Senator Paff said, election integrity is very important. I've been encouraging more and more people just to get involved, learn the process, become a poll worker, become a poll watcher, run for municipal clerk, or see if that's a job that you could be appointed for. The more people that we have involved and active in this system, the more people are going to understand how that works. But again, I've heard both sides of the argument, but ultimately when it comes down to what the voters want, I haven't seen any evidence that the voters truly want it to be the day before.
Thank you. Stacy Klein will have the first chance at this question from Dustin Lukey.
Thank you. The legislature passed a bill limiting biological males from competing in women's sports. A nationwide poll by the Marquette University found 70% of respondents support that measure, but Governor Evers vetoed it. What sort of policy would you like to see enacted that keeps our sports competitive and fair, but respects the dignity of all people, regardless of how they identify?
Mm-hmm. I understand the inclusivity aspect of it, but also as a mom to a daughter, we have to acknowledge the biological, physiological differences between men and women, and especially when it comes to a sports setting, height and weight, muscle mass, bone density, lung capacity. We could go on and on. And the men's and women's sports have been separate for a long time for a reason. This is a topic I tend to talk a lot about. I run into a lot of parents who feel very strongly about it. And my heart goes in the direction of how can we make sure that everyone does have an opportunity. From what I understand, there's a possibility of looking at an additional category. If we see this trend of, more young people that feel that they're not in the right body, then we need to make a category for them. But we would be erasing women. We'd be going back 50 years if we allowed males to compete against females.
Thank you.
I speak with an awful lot of parents. I speak with an awful lot of school administrators. I will say this, is that the Wisconsin Interscholastic Athletic Association has rules. And those are the rules that currently we have in place to participate in interscholastic sports. I think we should keep this out of the state legislature. We don't need to go there. No more cultural wars. No more trying to divide people. WIAA for high school sports, the NCAA for collegiate sports, they are creating those rules. I will continue to take what I hear from constituents to the WIAA, to the NCAA, but I do not want to see this kind of divisive cultural debate within our state legislature.
Thank you. Brad Paff will respond to this question first from Brad Williams.
This is an election year, and during election years in Wisconsin, generally the state legislature doesn't meet for very long. And we do hear complaints about that, that they should be spending more time at the job in Madison. So, your thoughts on requiring more time for the legislature to meet, and perhaps especially during election years?
Well, thank you for that question. Wisconsin has a full-time legislature, but boy, it sure acts like it's part-time. I frankly believe that if the legislature's not going to meet and do the job what the people have asked us to do, like lowering taxes, investing in our economy, making sure working families get opportunities to succeed, then you know what? That legislature should go down to part-time. I've been very upfront about that. I'm very disappointed in the leadership in the legislature for not doing the job. We have people in the town of Campbell that have been drinking bottled water for nearly 4 years, but yet the legislature does not meet. We have childcare deserts in this state Senate district and around the state, but yet the legislature does not meet. We have a situation in which we have high gas prices and high grocery prices. The legislature does not meet. We can do an awful lot better. I've been calling out my colleagues saying, let's get busy. Let's get back to work. When we get called into special session, they adjourn. It's so disappointing.
So honestly, the role of state senator overall is much more part-time than I had anticipated, just from what I knew of the state legislature. But there are many aspects of this that I do agree with Senator Paff. I know I've had a couple conversations with other legislators about this. It has been mentioned that they want to make sure that while campaigning, that donations, things like that, do not get wrapped up into how a legislator will vote or move forward. I can see that aspect, but ultimately, if the state is paying a legislator, then we need to be doing that job. So maybe there is some type of happy medium that we could find in there. Campaign season is just insanely busy. I think we're all counting down the days. I've joked that afterwards I'm going to sleep for a week, but ultimately, we need to get the job done.
Thank you.
Yeah, and the follow-up to that would be is get the money out of politics. I mean, if the reason why the majority party does not want the legislature to meet is because of campaign finance laws, well, then let's do campaign finance reform. The people in the town of Campbell should not be drinking bottled water for nearly 4 years. Let's get busy and let's get to work.
Stacy Klein.
I think everybody agrees with getting the money out of politics. Unfortunately, because of how much is in it, that's going to be a very challenging road. But if we get enough people to go ahead and do it, then that would be really great.
This next question will go to Stacy Klein from Ezra Wall.
This district is notably divided may be the wrong word, but between rural interests and more urban interests from the cities in the district. Do you see the interests of each of those types of voters as being at odds with each other?
I don't necessarily see that in our district. When you're talking about urban or rural, we see more of that between all of Wisconsin versus Madison, Milwaukee, and Green Bay. And that's where at the state level, much more is dictated when it comes to budget and what's passed. So that's where we see that big divide. Sometimes, you know, we'll even joke that there's more of an urban versus rural than there is Democrat versus Republican. But here in the 32nd, I don't see that as much. I know we've been knocking doors all over. Like I said, I've been to so many municipal board meetings, and I tend to hear the same types of complaints and information there. I think we're still, even though we have the city of La Crosse and Viroqua, those are probably our biggest cities in the district, we're still rural enough where we could really still work together and appreciate, you know, maybe those differences, but then we've got so much more that brings us together.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's really the tone and the tenor of how a legislator does their job. I mean, because as we have seen from some of the top leaders in this nation, I mean, as far as the division that's taking place in this country. But that's not who I am. And as a state senator, I have worked hard to make sure that we do not divide rural versus urban, because that's not helpful for any of us. We need to continue to try and build bridges and bring things together and talk about the importance of investing in this area and how it'll be successful for all of us. May it be in Galesville or may it be in DeSoto. Bringing things together, bringing people together, investing in our economy, investing in our people, investing in our schools.
Thank you. For this next question, Brad Paff will respond first. Ken Kozarowski.
The Democratic Party has called for full legalization of recreational and medical marijuana in the past. State government in the last cycle advanced toward the idea of about 5 state-run dispensaries. That idea did not gain traction. Where do you stand on the potential for Wisconsin to legalize marijuana in some capacity, and why should it be legalized? Why or why not?
Well, thank you for that question. I am supportive of legalizing marijuana for medical. I also am supportive of legalizing marijuana for recreational. When Speaker Voss mentioned having a state-run dispensaries, I was not supportive of that. I do not believe the state should run that. I believe in the private sector. I believe in capitalism. And I believe that once we move in this direction, we should let our entrepreneurs move forward. Obviously, it needs to be regulated. There needs to be oversight. You know, this cannot just be the Wild West. The Wisconsin Department of Revenue oversees the liquor license in this state, so there would have to be some type of a regulatory structure that would be built around it. The reason why Speaker Voss moved forward with having a state license is because, or state dispensary, is because he wanted to make sure that's how he regulated it. That's not how I agree.
Thank you.
But I do recognize.
Thank you.
Going forward.
Yeah, and again, there's aspects of what Senator Paff said that I agree on. Honestly, this is a topic where I still need to learn so much more. I've heard from both sides. With the medical marijuana, that is something that I'm leaning towards supporting. I'm also a full supporter of law enforcement, and law enforcement does not want recreational marijuana. As far as the state dispensaries, I agree that it should be free market if we were to go ahead with that. So again, this is a topic where I've had people, our voters, write to me on my website. I've had conversations, like I said, with law enforcement, and really I would just like to gather more information and just get a better understanding, and perhaps it's something to go out to the constituents as well. What do the people of the 32nd want? Are there different aspects that we could look at? Maybe just the medical marijuana, how many people actually want the recreational marijuana. That's something where we would need to have more conversation.
Thank you. Senator Paff, I'd like to follow up with you.
Sure.
On this issue.
Well, I would just say the following, and that is Wisconsin is essentially an island surrounded by Michigan, Illinois, and Minnesota as far as those states have moved forward. We do have to partner with law enforcement. That's absolutely correct. We do need to make sure that there's strong oversight. We need to make sure that if we move forward with recreational marijuana, that we do not have the Wild West.
Thank you. Stacy Klein, the last word.
Sure. So with that, I also want to mention, you know, we need to take a look at studies, how marijuana, if our adolescents are getting a hold of it, how that affects them, and how that, you know, they used to always say that's a gateway drug, so we want to make sure that we're not facilitating them towards a bad path. Again, having that conversation so that we can figure out, okay, who has benefited from this, who could possibly benefit it, and then who is this hurting, so we can make a fully educational decision.
Thank you. And Stacy Klein, I'm coming right back to mm-hmm. you because it is now time for closing statements. You have 60 seconds for your closing statement.
Mm-hmm. Well, again, I appreciate this opportunity. This is my first time running for the state legislature, so it takes time to get my name out there and make sure that people understand who I am and how I would represent them at Madison. One thing I do want to mention is going back into the abortion issue. When I talk about having conversations, I'm not going to ignore the people out there that are pro-life or who think that there should be exceptions or a limit on there. We have a senator who voted against protecting babies that were born after botched abortions. I feel that that's pretty extreme, and we need to bring this back to the people. But with me, you're going to have someone that approaches this with honesty, integrity. When I come and say that I'm supporting something in the district and I go back to vote in Madison, that's what I'm going to do. I work in nonpartisan politics. I'm used to entering the room without that D or R on my back, and I'm a natural mediator. I get along with everyone. I look for common ground, and we build from there. So I would be very honored to earn your vote, and I look forward to the continued conversation. Thank you.
Thank you. Brad Papp, your closing statement.
Well, thank you, and thank you, Stacy, for this debate. I greatly enjoyed it. What we heard this afternoon was a study in contrast, and that's why this election is so very important. As a farm boy, I'm naturally optimistic. I do believe that tomorrow will be a better day than today. But that's not what we see in today's politics, sadly. There's so much divisiveness, so much anger, so much division. We can do better than that. I firmly believe there's more that unites us than divides us. And that's the kind of person that I am, trying to bring people together. I believe in hard work. I believe in dedication. I believe in fairness. And I believe in freedom. And what we heard from my opponent is that she believes that the government and politicians should make decisions in your bedroom. I don't believe that. You also heard from my opponent that she believes that tax cuts should go to the very wealthy at the expense of working families. I don't believe that. I believe there's so much more that we can do together. Thank you.
Thank you. Round of applause for our candidate. Yay! Well, thank you so much, Brad Papp. Thank you so much, Stacy Klein. Thank you to our sponsors, the League of Women Voters of the La Crosse area. Thank you to the La Crosse Area Chamber of Commerce. Thank you, WKBT, WXOW, WIZM, and Wisconsin Public Radio. Be sure to follow those four media partners for continuing coverage of Election 2024. Thank you again for joining us.